T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, joining us now, the Ben and Skin Show, the COO of the Dallas Cowboys, the great Stephen Jones. Stephen, how you doing today, brother?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing awesome. Appreciate you jumping on the show with us. Let's dive right in. Got to ask you about the play of Xavier Suafilo. He seemed to really, really shine with the opportunity to play for Connor Williams. What were your thoughts on his performance at guard?
Yeah, I think he really stepped up. That's what you hope for when you what you hope for is to have that type of depth, that he can step in and play well. And, you know, when Will brought him up, that he was available out there, we went through, you know, what we had, you know, what we had on him. And, of course, we really liked him coming out of college. And, we had a second-round grade on him. And, you know, he had a few things that he'd struggled with at times. But overall, when you turned on the tape, we liked him. And I thought he would really add something to the team, brought him in here. And, of course, he answered the bell in a big way, being asked to step up against that, you know, really, really not only talented but big Philly front. And I think his size and the work that he did was outstanding.
Well, Stephen, this is getting real ahead of ourselves, but that's what we do on Sports Talk Radio. So I don't know exactly when Connor Williams will be good to go again, but if the offensive line is hitting on all cylinders and you know, Xavier's playing at a really high level, but Connor gets healthy again, would you guys be willing to stay with this line in the current incarnation that it's in to finish out the season if it is continuing to perform at a high level?
Like you said, that's speculating, and I sure don't like to do that, and especially get ahead of the coaching staff. I know Connor's more than likely, if you know, I think he could go if we had to have him go. I think he'd certainly benefit from another 4 or 5 days that we'll have until Thanksgiving, and I'm sure the coaches will make that call based on how Xavier plays this weekend, and then of course how Connor looks during practice. It's great to have that kind of competition going on there. It should only make us better.
Moving forward, no matter how that shakes out, do you see Connor Williams as a guy who could play either guard or tackle?
I think he can. I mean, that's one of the great things I love about some of the linemen that we've brought in here, whether it's a Zach Martin, whether it's a Lyle Collins, or a Connor Williams. Certainly they played at high levels at tackle and guard up to this point. So they certainly bring that type of versatility to the table. If you have to do some shuffling around, it sure gives a team some options. If you have some injuries there, especially like we've had, you certainly have options there. So we do feel that he can do it. I do still think we think Connor's best spot is his offensive guard, but it certainly gives us options. He's played well at a high level at Texas at tackle, and certainly why we drafted him was his play, and but gives us those options.
So, Steven, staying on the offensive line for a moment, in your estimation, are there tangible, obvious examples of what has happened since you guys made a change with the offensive line coach from before to now? Like, when you watch that game, do you see things with the offensive line play that can be directly related to a coaching change?
Well, I think that'd be difficult, to really just say, hey, that's the reason. I think, obviously there's some techniques that Mark and Hudson, are more comfortable with, that probably our offensive line cut their teeth doing, that they're more comfortable with. And certainly Paul was wanting our guys to, increase the tools in their toolbox. And, at times I think some of our guys, may have struggled with them. So, going back to what they knew best is good. At the same time, I think Lyle Collins actually was probably one of the more comfortable ones with them and utilized that at times to help him out. So, I think overall we made the change so that we could get back to using some of the techniques, the way we were going about how we were doing in the offensive line. I think that's why we made the change. But, you know, to just point and say, boy, that's what it's all about. I think it's just a matter of, you know, getting the right chemistry, whether it's the coaching, whether it's the players that are playing together at a specific time together. Obviously, you know, you look at that offensive line as a unit, and they all have to do their job. You know, they have to, you know, at the end of the day, they have to, you know, efficiently get through a play and execute, and that's what it's all about. And I think right now, you know, as an overall whole between coaching and players, they're getting a little more comfortable, I think, with what they're being asked to do.
Talking to Stephen Jones on the Bennett Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I saw a statistic from Pro Football Focus that said Tyron Smith has gone 91 straight pass blocks without allowing a pressure, which is the longest active streak for left tackles in the NFL. So, in your opinion, is Tyron Smith back to being full-power Tyron Smith of old?
I think so. I think, you know, we obviously, no one in our organization ever doubted that, you know, that he's probably the best tackle in the game. He's obviously had some injuries, issues that at times he's had to work through, but that's what makes him a warrior. A lot of players wouldn't play. But Tyron works through those, and then, of course, he probably struggled as much as anybody with some of the techniques that he was trying to bring into his game. And I think he's back to, you know, really comfortable. I mean, Hud was here when we drafted him, and I think he's, more and more comfortable with what we're trying to do as a unit there.
Stephen Jones joining us on the Ben and Skin Show. All right, let's flip over to the other side of the ball and do a little defensive line talk, because it seems like you guys might be really thin going into this game on the interior of your defensive line. What's the current status of the health of some of your inside defensive line?
Yeah, we're going to have a little challenge this week, no question, with some of the question marks with health in terms of our depth there in the defensive line. And so, there's a lot of guys that are questionable there. Some of them, you know, we've already ruled out, and Taco's already been ruled out. Obviously, Irving's out. I think Woods is, you know, questionable. Malik's got a question mark. So, you know, we've got some question marks, but I think we've got the answers to get the right guys in. If that's what we need to do, we'll make a final call on that tomorrow. But I still think we'll be able to get the job done. We've got a great group right there. That I think can play at a high level with the group of guys that we have.
Stephen, do you feel like your team played with a different sense of urgency against the Eagles than they had in previous weeks?
I hate to put anything on urgency. I think our guys have played hard. I think, to some degree, the execution hadn't quite been there. Obviously, when your backs are against the wall, you back someone into a corner, maybe sometimes there's a little more there, but I don't think our issue has been, you know, that we're not, you know, playing hard, playing at a high level. The Tennessee game was disappointing. We just, up till the Philadelphia game, we just hadn't been able to, you know, execute and make the plays at the right time to finish and win a football game. And we were obviously able to do that against the Eagles. Hopefully we'll build on that when we play the Atlanta Falcons. They're very, very talented, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Their receiving core is one of the best in the game. We got a great quarterback in Matt Ryan, some good running backs there. Defensively, you know, they struggled with injuries, but everybody has to work through those things, and, don't know for sure who's going to be healthy for them, but it's going to be a big challenge. And but I think, hopefully we'll build on what we did in Philadelphia.
Stephen, I want to stay on that urgency vibe for a minute. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We lost you there first, Stephen. You got us?
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got you.
Okay, good. I want to stay on that urgency kind of vibe for a minute and flip it over to the coaching staff. Your dad said something interesting right after the game the other night, saying, you know, he'd gone up to Jason and said, do you feel nervous? Do you feel this? And obviously, if you guys had fallen to Philly, you would have been behind the eight ball from a playoff standpoint. Do you feel like in the way that game went down the other night that the coaching staff, quote-unquote, pulled out all the stops? Do you think that maybe they've been holding back in some regard before that game, or is that not even an accurate assessment of how they approached the game?
I think everybody sensed a little more aggressiveness in terms of you know, how we were calling the game, whether it be offense, defense, or special teams. You know, we had the fake punt. We did some things. Whenever you go on the road against the East, against the defending Super Bowl champions, you have to be more aggressive. And, you know, I think in general we've really liked our football team, albeit we're young. We've known our defense was pretty solid and could keep us in the game. And I don't think we wanted to, quote-unquote, beat ourselves. So, you know, there may have been a little more conservatism and confidence and you know, what we could do there. But there's no question, I think we were a little more aggressive in all three phases. And no, I expect that to continue.
We need to get familiar with your ketchup policy, Stephen. Yep. Your dad was on the radio station today talking about being a kid and putting the ketchup on his eggs. And then he kind of had his thoughts on putting ketchup on a steak. I'd like to know where you stand with your ketchup usage and your practices using ketchup.
Well, you know, I was kind of brought up right underneath him, so he would always give me the look if I wanted to throw the ketchup on a nice steak. I don't think that would have gone over with him or either one of my grandfathers. You were supposed to enjoy the steak, but after that, all bets are off. If you like ketchup on your eggs, I've been known to do that before, put ketchup on whatever pleases you. Just don't do it on a nice steak.
All right. So if you're sitting there at the breakfast table and you got a bunch of eggs in front of you, and to your left is some ketchup and to your right is salsa, which one are you going for?
Oh, I've been changed over. I'm a salsa hot dog. Yeah. Now that I've spent the last 30 years in Texas, that may have been an Arkansas thing, the ketchup on your eggs.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Very, very nice. And so, you know, we won't talk to you again until after Thanksgiving. And so we'd love to get your thoughts on Thanksgiving. What is sitting around the bird like in your family?
Well, first of all, it changed 30 years ago. It's totally it was always about football because you turned on all the games. And, of course, we were Cowboy fans living there in Arkansas. And it was about the game, but nothing like it is today. And but, you know, our Thanksgiving really comes after the day itself. Revolves around the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, and then it's all about family, you know, the rest of the weekend. And I know our players look forward to it. They get the weekend off, Friday and the Saturday and the Sunday, and it's just a, you know, a great time to spend time not only with your wife and your own children, but, you know, my brothers and sisters and their kids and my parents and their brothers and sisters. So we, you know, we've got a big family occasion. It's usually done, we usually spend it somewhere on a ranch, whether it's in Springfield or Stuttgart, or it's primarily been where we've gone. So it's something I know I look forward to, getting to spend time with our family, and know our family enjoys it. But we also, you know, one of the things we cherish the most are the Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving Day.
So on Friday, after this big Cowboy win, you guys are going to be enjoying some Thanksgiving. What's the best thing on the table, and you can't say it's the turkey, what's the best thing on the table, in your opinion, on Thanksgiving?
Oh, we do two dressings, one from my dad's side. My grandmother made a dressing that's a little more spicy, really good, and then my mother's mother had a different kind of dressing that we all really like as well. So we've continued the tradition of doing both, and but that's probably my favorite dish to go with my turkey.
Wait, I get confused on this. So when you say dressing, is that the same thing that some people call stuffing?
Yeah.
You same guys call thing. It dressing. Okay. Yeah, I get real confused.
I guess that's another Arkansas thing.
No. I think it's a good debate. And then what about gravy? Do you go brown gravy or giblet gravy or cream gravy?
We're giblet. We're giblet all the way. Both sides are giblet.
Man, yes.
Giblet on both.
I'm going to have to end this call right now. You violated our trust now, being a giblet guy.
That's no. I hear you. My my country grandmother served up giblet gravy. Yeah. I totally hear you, man.
Absolutely. Both my country grandmothers served giblet, and their dressing's just a little different.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, thanks so much, Stephen, for taking the time. We know you got an awesome weekend ahead of you. Hopefully you guys go get a big win in Atlanta, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Well, I hope y'all have a happy Thanksgiving with your family, and hope you have a great week.
All right, there he goes, the great Stephen Jones.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.